Hi everybody, welcome to Sleep Apnea Pathfinders. I'm your host, David Bishop.
And I'm Yvette. I'll be co-hosting this season. This season, our focus will be to bring you a variety of perspectives as we talk to different individuals about our favorite subject, sleep apnea.
Well, actually, it's my favorite subject.
That's right. That's why I'm the co-host. But we're going deeper in a lot of these subject areas, so come along with us on our journey.
Welcome to episode 17 of Sleep Apnea Pathfinders. Today we're going to discuss three reasons why sleep apnea goes undiagnosed for years.
Or even decades.
So when I introduced you, Yvette, to the Sleep Apnea Pathfinders audience at the start of the season, I said you've been there for the ups and downs.
I have.
So we've been together for 29 years, and sleep apnea came into our lives 15 years ago. And it was after I was diagnosed in 2006.
Well, that's when it became an official factor in our relationship. I'm sure it's been with us for longer than that, but that's when we were officially notified, or I guess diagnosed would be the better word.
Right. So the three reasons why are: fatigue was normalized, there was a lack of knowledge, and I slowly became that person.
Yes, you did. So first, let's talk about normalized fatigue. I think that being the top reason, you know, over the years, as our life stages changed, right? So we got married and, you know, we had children. So, you know, all of those major life stages have an impact in your life. Or, you know, when you first graduate and you start your new job, all those things, you know, really impact your energy level, your lifestyle, you know, working, you're a little bit more sedentary. So I think when, you know, and you just start to adapt into those different life stages in life, all the different things that life is throwing at you. So I think we really started to normalize our fatigue. And I think as a couple, probably when we had our first child, you know, new parents, sleep deprivation, you know, everything kind of just gets turned upside down in your life. So we both normalized fatigue. And so did our doctors.
Right. Yes, they did. And I think many of our listeners can relate to this. You know, we were young and we put a lot of effort into developing our careers and, you know, buying that first house and, you know, our first child. So I think I was working part-time in addition to my full-time job. You know, being tired was just normal to me. It was something that I just felt like I needed to push through. So I was tired all of the time. And I think, you know, I felt like it was no different from anybody else, my fatigue.
Yeah. I mean, and friends and family are like, of course you're tired. Look at everything you're doing. Or of course you're tired. You know, it's your first baby and, you know, keeping you up at night. So it's normalized, not just for ourselves. We tend to normalize it, but, you know, people around us normalized it as well. And it was a shared fatigue. So that was also difficult to separate David's level of fatigue from my own in that particular stage. But I would say that that is when it first started to become, like, as I started to get a little bit more energy and started to adapt a little bit more, I could see that David wasn't, he was still really tired. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I'm the one that had the baby. Why are you still tired months and months after? So that's when we first started to, at least for myself, started to see that, you know, he just wasn't bouncing back. His level of tired was ongoing.
Yes, it was something that I dealt with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All the things that society tells us about fatigue, the messages are just push through it, you know, drink coffee, catch up on the weekend.
Get some sleep. Take a nap.
Right, right. And, you know, all those sayings that you've heard, you know, sleep when you're dead, or, you aren't successful unless you are pushing things, and sleep is something that you can skimp on, or sleep is something that you can cut back on to be more successful. And we've all seen those public figures, you know, you can name them now, but for decades, there have been people in the public eye who have really talked about the virtues of not getting sleep. And also their success was from them being able to work really hard. So I kind of embrace that. You know, this is something that I need to do, work hard for my family, and to try to catch up on sleep whenever I could. So that was number one. We normalized fatigue. I did, you did, everybody around us did.
Right. And I think, you know, going into the second reason, you know, our lack of knowledge and really trying to say, no, I think this is more than just being tired. Or no, I think there's something else going on. You know, it isn't just having a new baby. Just our lack of knowledge and awareness of things like sleep apnea or just general sleep disorders or sleep hygiene even, I think, you know, really contributed to us normalizing that fatigue. Hindsight, right, and especially with all of the knowledge that David has gained throughout the years and, you know, has really dedicated his time to in learning more about sleep apnea and sleep disorders in general, the more he learns and the more we have conversations, we definitely go back and go, wow, you know, that was so obvious back, you know, when we look back at it. But when you're in it and you're not aware, it's so easy to just ignore and normalize.
It is. It is. We were in our 20s. I think everybody can relate to this. You know, when you're in your 20s, you want to stay out. You want to party. And, you know, sleep is not something that you are saying, oh, no, I'm going to stay in on Saturday night because I need to get to sleep early. So that, you know, pushed over into our 30s. And we weren't thinking about sleep disorders at that point. We weren't really attuned to that. And so small things like headaches, I had, you know, pain in my eyes that were kind of odd, but nothing that really would make me go to the doctor. And something else was happening with my legs that I had no idea what was happening. What did you see?
Oh my gosh, yes. There were nights where I couldn't sleep because your legs just kept kicking all night long. You know, now we know it as restless leg syndrome, but back then it was just like, what is wrong with you? Can you stop moving so I can get some sleep? So that was going on. And I do remember you having frequent headaches and I think, oh, and also having a really hard time concentrating, which was really frustrating. You know, in addition to you being tired and having a hard time engaging you in a conversation and then finally getting you to a point where we could, you know, sit down and talk or, you know, engage a little bit, then, you know, you'd start to doze off or I'd have to repeat myself multiple times. And now, you know, at the time it was super frustrating, but now, you know, understanding a little bit more, you know, you were just having a hard time keeping attention, keeping focus, and processing a lot of the information that was coming your way. And that was all a result of your sleep and not getting quality sleep.
And yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It took a really long time to understand that that was a product of not sleeping, you know, years and even, you know, a decade to really put it into perspective. And hindsight is 2020. And these were not things that I would really talk to my doctor about. You know, they could be explained away. But there was one thing that I did talk to my doctor about: heart palpitations.
A tightness in your chest.
I had a tightness in my chest. And that, of course, is something that would concern anybody. And I went in and it was not my normal doctor. Because it was, you know, an urgent appointment. So he did an evaluation, thorough exam. He asked me a series of questions about my lifestyle. And as you can imagine, he was asking about sleep. He was asking about nutrition. He was asking about what responsibilities, you know, what was going on during the day. And, you know, my responses were, you know, I'm working full-time, part-time. We have a new house. We have a new child. Baby. Right. And
exercise, I mean, that wasn't part of our everyday. I mean, with everything else and all the normal responsibilities, the little bit of downtime we did have was just that, downtime. You know, we weren't engaged in a lot of physical exercise activities.
Mm-hmm. So his response to all of my answers were, well, you need to get more sleep. And it would be good if you could get some exercise. And I'm sure we've all heard this from our doctors. You know, they have their responses to make some lifestyle changes. But he did refer me for an echocardiogram to look at my heart. And I went for that exam, and they said my heart was fine. So, you know, I had some things that, if you look at it up close, you probably would think that, okay, he just needs some lifestyle changes. So, you know, these types of things went on for years and years without really coming to a conclusion that, hey, I might need a sleep study. And, you know, for the primary care physicians, they would not have put all of these different things together.
Right. They're looking at it as individual pieces and not looking to fit those pieces together into the puzzle that it is, which I think just makes it really difficult because, again, without having information on your side, awareness on your side, and the ability to advocate for yourself, you know, that makes it really hard. So I think that's why it's really powerful, and appreciate all of the research and hours that David spends in this, because we really have, he has, and I've benefited from his knowledge, really have been able to become a strong advocate for himself. And for ourselves, you know, he empowers me with information to be a better advocate for myself in the healthcare space.
And that's something that I want for all people in my life. And I want people to feel comfortable advocating and having information that is actionable, and they can really go into that appointment with a physician, be it their primary care physician or even a sleep physician, and have a really good conversation about what's happening. And they can maybe encourage the doctor to draw on some additional resources that they might not have thought about if that conversation was shorter and not full of details about what was happening with their sleep.
So, David, I also think that the third reason that we think why sleep apnea can go undiagnosed, it's because, you know, you slowly become that person, right? It's such a slow, journey, such a slow kind of like transformation, right? These little things, because you start with the normalizing of fatigue, you know, you don't know what you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. And then people around you start to normalize as well. I mean, I remember like in our 20s, right? Just starting out to be young professionals and getting together with our friends, you know, we would come in like for brunch, right? This is a day event. It's not even like staying out late. It's during the day. Come in to have brunch. And, you know, we'd have you as part of the conversation for maybe like 5-10 minutes, you know, say our hellos, how's everybody? Okay, I'll give you 20 minutes.
Right. You okay. Know, I'm looking at you. It's longer than that.
All right. So maybe had him for 20 minutes, and then as soon as he found a couch or a chair, that's where he'd be. And then he'd be snoring. You know, he became that guy of people just knew, oh, you know, David, he'll just, you know, he comes in, we'll talk to him for a little bit, and then he'll be asleep for the rest of the time. And, you know, we all just accepted it. It was just who David was at that time.
And I mentioned this in season one where we would go to parties or we would go to events with our friends at their houses, and I would find a corner and fall asleep, and I felt badly about it. And I knew that it was something that I didn't feel like I could prevent. I felt badly that I was not able to engage with our friends the way that I wanted to. And sleep was just something that was just pulling me. Sleep was just, I was just so, it's hard to explain. I just wanted to get some sleep no matter where I was. And so I did become that person. But I also was a person who was sleepy behind the wheel. I was sleepy at the breakfast table.
You were sleepy at the dinner table, the breakfast, at any meal. In the middle of the meal, you could see he was struggling. He was.
But it was something that, again, like we were saying in the previous point, that I normalized it for so many years. And we just kind of adjusted to that person that I became. And, you know, I would snore and I would also snort in my sleep or make these chortling sounds. And so that was when when my airway would close and then it would open back up. So I'd make that chortling sound. So, you know, it was kind of funny to people, you know, but I was never aware of it. I was never aware. I was aware that I was snoring.
I was aware.
Yes, so, you were very aware.
And, you know, as a side note, you know, as a little side note for, you know, the spouses or partners of people suffering from sleep apnea, you know, we're affected as well because my sleep was interrupted because of restless leg syndrome. You know, somebody next to you moving all night long has an impact on your sleep. Somebody snoring loudly or, you know, that sudden choking or like, you know, that also wakes you from a sleep. So not only was David's sleep and his everything that was going on in his body interrupting his sleep, but also my sleep was interrupted. And so it's also hard to lose some objectivity and maybe in some cases have some compassion because as a spouse, you're also exhausted too.
Yeah, you're also exhausted and you're dealing with your own fatigue. So this is a joint issue for people who have...
It impacts more than just the patient, for sure.
Right. Yeah. It impacts more than just the individual, for sure.
Exactly.
So you may relate to these points, or maybe some of these points are really not in focus for you in terms of what has happened over the years and decades.
So our episode today, we really just wanted to highlight these three reasons on through our journey, what we believe contributed to having so much time go by in David being undiagnosed for years, and in our case, decades, just because of these three reasons. Normalized fatigue, we normalize it as a society, our lack of knowledge in sleep hygiene, sleep disorders, sleep apnea, and then that journey is so gradual that we slowly do become that person. And sometimes we don't even recognize that we've become that person. So we hope that these points resonate with some of you and you've at least enjoyed to hear a little bit more about our journey through this experience.
So thank you for listening today. Bye.
Bye.
As a reminder, Sleep Apnea Pathfinders is a weekly podcast. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk again next week.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. You can reach us on Instagram at Sleep Apnea Pathfinders or through email, sleepapneapathfinders@gmail.com.